Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Straight May on Wednesday. I hope Patriots fans digested that, because that was big talk for him. Talking about another year of this. We don't want another year of this. It's his rookie year. And he's already sort of, and this is what I was worried about, you know, like we talked about this last week ad nauseum. But you put a rookie quarter, especially a good one, in a situation like this, there's not a lot of examples of what Drake May's been going through this year. There just isn't. There's not a lot of examples of a good rookie quarterback on a bad team losing a ton of games, but is still considered, okay, this guy's good,
Herbert?
Even though the team's not winning.
Stafford?
What? Stafford, they weren't bad right away, I don't think.
What about Herbert?
The Lions, I think, were awful.
Were they in his first year?
So.
And people liked, all right,
I'll
fine,
check,
so there's
right.
that. But the other two names that jumped out to me were like Mariota and Daniel Jones.
Oof.
Right? Like, those are two guys who had the similar stats.
What about Herbert?
I did it by numbers. Herbert, they got better. They're bad again, but, like, they did get better in Herbert's rookie year. And I think that, in general, when you look at the guys who were drafted highly, right, guys who were drafted in, like, the top five, top ten, something like that, if they have a good rookie season, usually that lifts up the team a little bit more than what Drake May has been able to do with this Patriots team, which isn't to say he's having a bad year.
Yeah, I think you're being quite rude.
It's just, it's not rude. It's,
so
just, it's just a fact.
Stafford was 2-8 in his rookie year, only played 10 games.
Okay, I don't know what his numbers were, but when I went over
13 touchdowns, 20 interceptions.
Okay, and if he ends up like Stafford, then that's great, but Stafford had to go to another team before he won anything, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You know, and they did put stuff around him. That was another part of it, is a team that didn't really have much in the way of weapons. I don't know if Stafford had Johnson at that point or
not.
Yeah,
he did. I think Calvin Johnson was actually drafted before Matthew Stafford.
Okay, so he already had like an elite Hall of Fame wide receiver on the team, which you can't say about Drake May by any means. Yep. You can say that about... you can't say it about Mariota or Daniel Jones either. That's what sort of drew me to those guys. And I know that Jones had Saquon Barkley, but in terms of like guys to pass to, not a lot of weapons. The team struggled to put an offense around them. They had a good rookie year statistically, but the team didn't do anything. And then they couldn't really ever figure it out. And
so
I'm worried that's what's going to happen with Drake.
Arkan, were you bothered by that comment from Drake? Or like it sounds, was it a warning flag for you?
A little bit, yeah. Because that's different than how he usually talks.
Yes,
that's,
it is.
Right? That's
he's
like
normally
sort of
very
a derivation
political.
From that. He does. He sort of said, hey, listen, you know, and he didn't say either
mean, like,
get
diplomatic.
It together.
Diplomatic.
Or
yeah.
I'm out of here. But
it'd be funny if it was political. Very political.
That's not what I mean.
Right. But he did say, you know, you can't have another season like this. Like, you don't want to have two straight seasons like this. And acknowledging that this season has not been a good season, despite the fact that everyone's telling him how great he is.
So I also think, too, though, like, you could look at a guy like Jared Goff, who his first year with Jeff Fisher was 0-7, looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just brought in Sean McVay and boom, all of a sudden Jared Goff's 11-4, 3,800 yards, sure. 28 touchdowns, 7 picks. So, like, I think there's a chance that, like, something like that could happen. Unfortunately, though,
that's going to happen next season. It sounds like they are not going to part with Alex Van Pelt, and they're not going to part with Jerod Mayo. So who's that person going to be?
Yeah, so that's the big issue.
Jared Goff's rookie year was not good.
No, it was horrible.
Like, he had a bad year. So I wouldn't put him in the same place as Drake May.
He's just
Drake
talking
May's
about making a big jump from year to year.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But, like, he didn't have a year where everybody was like, oh, we really got something here with Jared Goff. People thought he was a bust after his rookie year.
I think this is exactly the right attitude from Drake May. For him to come out
spitting. I do too, honestly.
And say, like,
I think
you
should pressure this team to
and
to
say,
be
like,
proactive.
I don't want to be in this position again
I don't
next
know.
Year.
So I get.
What do you want him to say? It's going to take some time.
Yeah, but
we
like,
we
also got pissed with Mac Jones because he was kind of bitchy.
I didn't.
Times.
I was like, I understand why he's bitchy. This team sucks.
Yeah, but I hated it.
Unfortunately,
it
ended up then he was bad too.
So, like, I don't want Drake May to do that. And, like, if this is the only thing he says that's even semi-controversial, then okay, that's fine.
So it sounds like it bothered you too.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, it's it doesn't.
I thought he couldn't do anything to bother you.
I mean, we determined yesterday he's not better than Josh Allen. We already had this conversation.
We did.
So, like,
we did.
I feel like I have a very measured take on Drake May.
I think you're starting to sour on
that he's not better than Josh Allen. Wow.
No. We had
what a concession that is.
No, we had a discussion about
down.
We had a discussion about his ceiling, and I was like, I don't know. Josh Allen's playing the best of the quarterback position on the planet right now. I don't know if Drake May will ever do that.
Oh, like, if he could ever be Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, be better than Josh Allen.
Right.
And that was kind of the whole
I think everybody's a little bit of a victim of the moment.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's awesome. He had a 3 rushing touchdown, 3 passing touchdown game, and everyone's
yeah, but it wasn't just
like,
the last game. He's been awesome
months. I know. Come on. Like, let's everybody just settle a minute.
I mean, they probably should have won that Rams game if it wasn't for Sean McDermott.
Yeah. That's a whole show. That's a show for another month.
Yeah, it's true.
By the way, May's having a much better rookie year than Stafford had. I'm just looking up his numbers too. Like, his rookie year was not very good. The exercise was a rookie who had a good rookie year, and the team thought, "Wow, we really got something here with this guy. Look at the stats he's putting up." Even though the team's not winning on a bad team without a lot of real options to throw to.
Okay.
And the two best examples I could find, Mariota and Jones. The Titans didn't have any. They had Delanie Walker, and that was it. The Giants had Saquon Barkley and a lot of the same receivers they still have today.
How good was the Colts team, Andrew Luck's rookie year? They were better, weren't they?
They
were 11-5.
So.
Never mind. That doesn't count either. Damn.
So, yeah, this is rare. What we're seeing with Drake May this season is rare. It doesn't happen very often. And it doesn't happen with quarterbacks who were drafted highly like this either. So I was curious about what these other teams did, what other guys in this position ended up doing. And I'll tell you what, the fates of Marcus Mariota and Danny Dimes are not what you want to see here for Drake May.
But here's the other thing. Like, it doesn't bother me because they say all this stuff about how they want a sense of urgency. Drake May is one of the only people in the entire organization that seems to be demonstrating that week to week. So I have no problem with him saying it at the mic. What bothers me a little bit more is how often Jerod Mayo responds to questions with winning fixes everything, because I don't think they're going to get a win in the final 4 games,
yeah,
which means
either.
Nothing is getting fixed this season. And I wonder why he keeps going back to the well with that answer.
So,
it's like, so you're just pushing it off to next year completely? And I don't see how that's any different than really what Drake May is saying, because Drake May is the one who's actually showing it, and Jerod Mayo was promising that he's going to make this big jump in year two, and there's not really anything to suggest that he's going to do that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And just to answer your question, so your guys who you noted in the past who were good rookie seasons on bad teams were Mariota and who else?
Danny Dimes.
So the other one that I found almost right away, Kyler Murray. Team was 5-10-1. He had 3,700 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 picks. Like and I think a lot of people think Kyler Murray's pretty good. Like, he's not amazing, but he's good. And his teams have just been bad. But it doesn't bode well for Drake May. Again, a team that just hasn't been able to figure it out. Like, when you're a bad football team, it takes so many things to get right in order to start being good again. You have you have to have the right coach. You have to have the right quarterback. You have to have the right system. You have to have good players around you. And unfortunately, I don't know that Drake has any. We know we have a good quarterback, but do we have anything else around him?
Yeah, good point. I got the numbers right here. Drake May right now is projected, before this game starts, his projections for the year, according to ESPN, are 13 games, 2,218 yards, 14 touchdowns, 10 picks, and an 87 passer rating. The best two comps that I could find, Mariota, his rookie year, 12 games, 28-18 yards, 19 touchdowns, 10 picks. QB rating was better, 91.5. And Danny Dimes, 13 games, 3,027 yards, 24 touchdowns, 12 picks, and an 87.7 rating. They both showed promise. people didn't call them divas. People didn't think that they were, you know, too big for their britches or anything like that. And Mariota, I think they picked up his fifth-year option, and then after that, let him go, which is one of the few times you ever hear about a team picking up a fifth-year option and then not extending the guy. Like, that never happened. So, you know, like, it's just they had promising, not spectacular, but promising rookie years. The team struggled to surround them with a real NFL offense. And then a couple of years later, you know, they're both backups or out of the league. I mean, it's basically where we are right now. And I think that would be a horrible fate for Drake May.
This is where I think the goodwill that you feel or don't feel towards ownership has to come into play.
Yeah.
Do you think that your franchise is sound enough and in good enough hands that they're going to be able to figure this out over the next couple of years and support Drake May?
No, I'm not confident.
Or are you like these other franchises, in which case it was just Bill and Tom, and there's not anything special about your ownership at all?
It petrifies me that they are just going to be a bad franchise forever, and he is
going to be a bad franchise forever.
I mean, for a long time, and Drake May is just going to be stuck in purgatory and then eventually find the same fate as Matthew Stafford, where he has to go somewhere else in order to win. Like, that petrifies me.
And that's an awful thing to think. And I don't think there's anything special about the Patriots. Like, what's special about the Patriots now? I mean,
then perhaps Robert Kraft shouldn't go into the NFL Hall of Fame. Like, if you don't think that ownership,
he did
hire
Bill. I mean, it's not like he
didn't. Okay, so that's what I'm asking. Like, I think that it is kind of a litmus test of whether you think that this is a good ownership in the organization itself, or if you just think it was lightning striking twice with those two guys at the same time, and it's just the luckiest thing in the world.
I don't know if it's the luckiest thing in the world. Brady might have been the luckiest thing in the world. Belichick, there was at least a connection there. He'd already been here. You know, there was a little bit more history with that. But I think the Kraft's biggest problem is just stepping outside of their comfort zone. In the last 25 years of success here in New England, has really made that, I think, impossible. I don't think they're ever going to change their ways with that. Even when Jonathan takes over, I don't know if he's going to have the gumption to be like, you know what? We had all these parades and built all this stuff around here. We were able to do it off the back of all the success that we had. And now I'm going to go and hire someone that I don't know anything about.
Yeah,
it's not part of our
group,
right?
Just hire some weirdo with an offensive super mind who's just from somewhere completely outside.
I don't know. I know Robert's not doing that. I mean, you can tell that he's very much about his guys, very insular, very kind of, you know, just that's the way it is. And that's the way he wants it, and fine. But right now you don't have... You don't have a succession plan that can foster that type of winning with
feels
this group.
Very,
I just don't think.
It feels very Boston.
Yeah?
No. You can't have bird scooters over here. No. We don't trust that.
It's kind of true. But that's where they are. And I think that's, if you're talking about the biggest misgiving I have about ownership, it's that. You know, are they willing to step outside their comfort zone even when they haven't been able to for 30 years, because that's what you need in order to foster a winning environment for your rookie quarterback.
Look, right now, I would just say really quick, Sean.
No, go.
Like, I think everything that you see over this last year since Bill left, there's nothing besides Drake May to inspire confidence in what the front office has done, with the decision-making that they had.
100%.
And most of the coaching staff, you can say Alex Van Pelt is fine, and Gerard Mayo is just behind where he needs to be in his development as a head coach. So where do you even start unless you're going to make some drastic changes in one department or the other as ownership?
And I don't even know that I can give them credit for Drake May, because they fell into him. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just there at the third overall pick, and you needed a quarterback.
Them somebody credit for the development. And so a lot of that credit might be Drake May. But whoever worked with him from mini camp, training camp, up until who he is now, that's a real project that they
undertake. That comes back to the point I had, I think it's like the beginning of the show. I think Alex Van Pelt is just the most competent guy on the staff in the organization at the moment. Like, he's the only guy that's been around the league long enough and actually has some semblance of an idea of what he's doing. And I think that's showing why Drake May is growing in the right direction and not just completely going backwards.
617-779-7937. Ed's in Boston. Go ahead, Ed.
Mago, from one Italian-American to the other, I'm glad you're back.
Oh, thank you, Ed.
Grazie.
You have a very big fan base of Italo-American. So I hope you know
what?
That. Gerard Mayo, will he make a third year?
Will Gerard Mayo make it to the third year, Ed? You guys want to handle it? Will he make it to the third year? I think we all agree he's going to make it to the second year. Will he get through next year?
Yes.
Mega? He wants to hear from you.
I know. I'm
his
trying
paisana
to, I'm,
right over
I'm
here.
Trying to think. I think he makes it through next year. I don't know if he makes it a third year.
I'll vote no. I think things aren't going to go well next year, and they'll pull the plug. What do you think, Ed?
is this a Pete Carroll thing? Because if I remember, Bob Kraft at the beginning thought Pete Carroll was the greatest thing that ever happened to him after the Parcells issue. And then that really kind of, those wheels came right off the wagon.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, Ed, because you got a personable sort of player's coach. More rah-rah than X's and O's, I would say.
Pete Carroll went 10-6 in his first year.
He did. I mean, he was better, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, I think.
And then it went downhill. It went 10-6, 9-7, 8-8. So, yeah. If you're comparing that, I mean, Gerard Mayo would have to go, what, 3-14, 2-15, 1-16?
So, Parcells last year, they were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they went for how many? I don't know how many games they won that year, but they went from that to 10.
I think it was 10 or 11.
All right, so 11 to 10. Belichick's last year, they went 4. So, going from 4 to maybe 3. I mean, we'll see how many they actually end up with, but it's compared to where they were left, what they were left with. It's
sure,
kind of the same, you know. I mean, it's not too far off.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I don't know. I think they're slightly different. I feel like, I mean, Gerard is responsible for an entire rebuild.
Right.
They put him in an unwinnable situation. Like any coach that comes in here, doesn't matter who they are, is not winning more than 5 or 6 games with this team anyways, because it is so bereft of talent.
Yeah, Parcells so, like spurned them. He left.
But the thing is,
exactly.
Yeah. You didn't even really make, aside, and I know this is a big aside, but aside from the quarterback, you didn't make progress anywhere else on the roster. It
no.
doesn't look like you hit
no,
on
right.
anybody in the draft. Maybe Del Pettis can be a depth player.
Nice.
Other than that, like,
nice Del Pettis pull.
What do you have? What did you do? What
you,
did you gain over the last year?
Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper are all right.
You yeah. already had Hunter Henry. I'm talking about like
Austin Hooper's a good little pickup.
Elliot yeah. Wolf, what did he do? Who did he bring in?
Nobody good. Chucks Okorafor and Nick Leverett out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you lose another year where you could have had progress.
And also, you don't recognize the strength of a lot of your players, right? You look at the safeties group in particular,
yeah.
a group that has struggled for a myriad of reasons this year. But like it, in large part, it's because guys like Kyle Duggar and Jabbour Peppers are playing out of position. Devin McCourty used to play that center field spot, which then put them in the right position,
right.
allowed them to play lower in the box on tight ends, be physical,
now
do those things.
Now they're all box safeties.
Now, now they're all playing up top and in coverage where they're not good.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Duggar is not good in coverage. If there's anything I've learned this year, it's that. He's terrible in coverage. And it's because he's playing in the wrong position. And unfortunately, your front office can't even recognize that. They can't even rectify that.
Yeah. Jim is in Manchester. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi. Other than free agency, what can they possibly do to keep the quarterback happy? I mean, he's gonna get busted. He's gonna melt down.
Draft better, I guess. I mean, that's what you hope for. The examples I gave earlier, Mariota and Danny Dimes. The Titans draft. Do you remember Corey Davis?
Yeah, of course.
What a
Western
bust.
Michigan, right? I receiver?
Believe so. Yeah, he was drafted fifth overall by the Titans that year.
He was drafted ahead of another receiver who was really good, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. It escapes me who it is, but you're right. That was definitely, I mean, anybody who was drafted after other Corey Davis was better than him. And they went fifth overall. Titans reached for him. They were like, we're going to get our quarterback a guy. We're going to get him in the top five. They did. It was a terrible, terrible pick, and he was a bust. They did draft A.J. Brown eventually later on, but I think by then Tannehill had already come in.
Would you like to hear who was drafted after Corey Davis?
I sure would.
In order, Jamal Adams,
uh-huh.
Mike Williams, Christian McCaffrey,
oh,
John Ross, Patrick Mahomes, Marshawn Lattimore, Deshaun
oh
Watson, Hassan Reddick, Derek Barnett, Malik Hooker, Marlon Humphrey, Jonathan Allen, Adoree Jackson.
That's like the worst pick ever.
Wow.
I mean, that might be worse than Nikhil Harry.
Literally every other guy drafted after him, except John Ross, was at least good.
At least N'Keal Harry was like at the end of the round. Like,
yes.
This was fifth overall. They picked this guy. Oh, my God. And then
this draft was loaded. T.J. Watt was in this draft.
Damn.
Holy smokes.
The Giants also whiffed on the guy in the Chiefs who dropped all the passes.
Kadarius Toney.
18th they drafted
overall.
Him
yep.
very high in the first round. That was supposed to be Danny Dimes' guy, and he was a total bust, too.
So,
you know, like that's another thing I'm worried about. The Patriots are going to try and fix this in the draft because it's much easier to do that than to sign guys in free agency. As we're seeing, most of the good players are going to get locked up. We'll see about Higgins. Everyone's convinced that he's going to be a free agent.
Well,
so, let's see if he can outbid
so that's why
somebody.
I would almost take a page out of the Rams playbook. Like, Les Snead was like, F these picks. I don't
right.
need them. And just trade all your picks for legit established players across
mm-hmm.
the league.
Yeah, and then use your fifth round picks on Puka Nacua.
Yeah, and just throw darts in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round and hope you hit on, like, one or two guys.
Yeah, I'd like to see any of that from
yeah,
the Patriots.
That'd be nice.
That'd be great. Speaking of which, here's Chris Schein with What's Trending when we return. Andy Hart joins the show.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
It's It's week 15 of the NFL season. Your New England Patriots are in Arizona to take on the Cardinals today. Kickoff for that one is at 4:25. Some news and notes around the league. Max Crosby needs ankle surgery. He's done for the year. Cowboys' Trevon Diggs also needs surgery. He's done for the year. Some inactive news for you today. Breece Hall, Tony Pollard, both active today. David Njoku, however, the tight end for the Browns, is inactive against the Chiefs. The Jets plan to interview John Robinson and Lewis Riddick for their vacant GM position. John Robinson's latest job was the GM of the Tennessee Titans. Lewis Riddick, currently an employee of ESPN. The slate of football for you today. Chiefs at Browns, Bengals at Titans, Commanders at Saints, Ravens at Giants, Cowboys at Panthers, Jets at Jaguars, Dolphins at Colts. And in the 4 o'clock window, which is loaded, all these games start at 4:25, not 4 o'clock, so 4:25 slate. Colts at Broncos, Bills at Lions, Bucks at Chargers, and Steelers at Eagles. Tonight, we get the Packers traveling to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Last night, Arcan's guy Travis Hunter of Colorado came away with the Heisman Trophy. The Bruins killed the Canucks 5-1 in Vancouver. Pasta had a goal and 3 assists in the game. And the Celtics are in D.C. to take on the Wizards today. Tip-off for that one is at 6 p.m. Al Horford out for your Boston Celtics. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Football Sunday, WEEI, Christian Arcan, Meg Oshime time. We're going to be joined by Andy Hart here in about 5 minutes. Another comment that could be read into there. That one from Gerard Mayo. We just played one from Drake May. Mayo talking about the environment and how the environment could become a toxic environment. How nobody wants that. Obviously, you don't want that. It's a bad situation for a football team and for a head coach, certainly in his first year. That's the main thing. I mean, I said that already. Like, you're half expected to suck when you're a rookie head coach, right? Because you're usually taking over a bad team.
Especially if you have a rookie quarterback.
That, too, and a rookie GM and a rookie offensive coordinator, rookie everything. Uh-huh. But even without all that stuff, like, you're generally taking over a team that sucked and fired their coach because they suck. So people are expecting you to not be great. They hope you turn it around a little bit, but you can live with them not being great in their first year. You can't live with a big scandal, and you cannot live with them losing the locker room. And I don't think that Gerard Mayo's done either of those things, unless there's some scandal we don't know about. But, like, he hasn't lost the locker room. He seems like, in terms of being a citizen, he's great. People like him. He's personable. He does all the stuff with the team and the charities and all that stuff. So I don't see any, problems there. But it is worth pointing out that things can regress, right? We just talked about, the Mac Jones, Bill Belichick thing from 3 years ago when they were on top of the world. 3 years later, things go to hell for them. So you do have to be proactive. And it's good to hear both the head coach and the quarterback essentially saying this whole thing this year can't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, like, that's sort of what you're looking for.
Yeah, and you need that. You need to have some kind of focus on, all right, we need to learn from our mistakes this year. We need to move forward and we need to adjust so that, we can have success. Otherwise, you're just going to be the next Detroit Lions or Cleveland Browns, or you name the bad franchise that was around for years. And, like, none of the fans want that. That's for damn sure.
Right.
People are going to tune out real fast if that's the case. I mean, look how fast people tuned out of the Red Sox because they were bad a couple years in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just, you don't want that to happen with the New England Patriots. And so if you're the crafts and everybody on down, like, you need to be focused on improving from what you did this year.
So we have the caller who asked if you think that Gerard Mayo will get a third year. What do you think, just like totally blank slate today, yep, because you don't know what they're going to do in the offseason? I guess, what is the biggest possible jump realistically that you think that Gerard Mayo can make from this year?
In terms of win, like win total?
Yeah, however you want to define it.
Yeah, I think
he's talking about how athletes make the biggest jump in the league from year one to year two.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What would the biggest jump for him look like from year one to year two?
Winning like 8 games.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think that's primarily...
That's rough.
Yeah,
if he goes from 4 to 8, then he's gonna get a third year.
Absolutely, he's gonna get a third year.
I'm dubious about that, that's...
If you can get to 8 wins, that means you're kind of hunting in the playoff race at least a little bit. Like, you're lingering. You're not necessarily a competitor, but you're lingering.
You still have a losing record.
Yeah, I know, but you're still, I mean, there's plenty of teams with 6-7 records right now that are right on the fringe. And so you're a fringe playoff team, and that means that in your third year, theoretically, you would then be a playoff competitor. Like, that's kind of the progress you want. You knew this was going to be a full rebuild. You can't expect to be in the playoffs in year two, especially with how awful this roster is this year. So to me, like, if you double your win total, or more than double your win total, if they finish with 3 and they get to 8 next mm-hmm. year, like, that is a great step forward, a fantastic step forward, and then you move on.
All right.
I'm just realizing how impatient I am.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
That sounds awful to
me. I think a lot of people are.
Patriots fans in general, we've been conditioned this way. David is in the car. Hi, David.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great show.
Thank you, David.
Good group together. Great group.
Thank you.
So here's the thing that everybody's overlooking.
Yes.
If Belichick was still the coach with Drake May, this team would be in the playoffs. There's no question.
Right.
There's no doubt.
In the
with
playoffs.
Drake May, in the playoffs.
You need if eight wins to make the playoffs. This team would have eight wins right now with Bill Belichick?
They would have had eight wins.
David, I love you. And I know you're a former professional athlete. I love you, but there's no way in hell Bill Belichick would have eight wins with this team.
No. You guys are misjudging the Belichick, what he's capable of doing. If he was in a team as a coach, Drake May would have been the starter. They would have gotten at least some offensive players to protect him. They would have been in the playoffs. And this is where the
David, based on what? What are you talking about? What did he do for Mac Jones? He couldn't even get him an offensive coordinator. All of a sudden, he's going to have Drake May surrounded with weapons. What are you talking about?
He even likes Drake May.
Guys.
He wouldn't even have Drake.
Yeah, he hated Drake May on draft day.
Yeah, he said Drake May wasn't a good draft pick. So, come on. He wouldn't even have him
here. He sounded like Arcand.
Yeah.
Guys. Be ready for the next 5 years. You'll never see this team in the playoffs again.
All right. Well, maybe you're right. You might be right about that.
Might have got me at the end.
You can't hold out Drake, man.
I know. He had a bad point to start off with, but he reeled us all back in.
Yeah, maybe.
Joining the program right now is my co-host on WEEI Afternoons. You can also hear him on the Six Rings postgame show with Fitzy, who we talked to earlier on in the show. I'm talking, of course, about Andy Hart. What's up, Andy?
Morning, lady, gentlemen.
What's up? I was about to say. Hello. Excuse me.
I said lady. Gentlemen.
I know, but you said
you
it to me.
You said it first.
I was the one who introduced you, and then he said, good morning, lady, as if you were responding.
I believe you once held your hands in the air like a true woman at a concert, as you told me.
That's true. Acrobatic, who had the Pritch Please.
Song. We were just talking about that in the break. Nice.
So this is true. Acrobatic has a song called Woman, and I went to a show at the Middle East, and he was opening up. And the chorus is, throw up your hands if you're a real woman. And I didn't know that was the second part of the chorus. So when he said, throw up your hands, I threw up my hands. Like a real woman. And he goes, if you're a real woman, I was like, oops. Nope.
That was awesome. Embarrassing.
That's anyways.
I love that.
What's up, Andy? How are we doing today?
I'm doing great. I like this late afternoon start. It's given me some time to do some Christmas stuff, because I don't know if you people have realized, but Christmas right around the corner.
You're having like Christmas stress nightmares these days.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, really?
He's legit freaking out. Yeah.
Because I've just realized it's a short season and my shopping's not done. And
so what?
Planning and what do you mean, so what?
Just go get it done. It's not that hard.
Well, I mean,
that's tough love from Shine.
Yeah, I have no sympathy for people who have holiday stress.
I have holiday stress. I think send out all these thank you / holiday notes.
Yeah, that's different, though. You kind of, I don't want to say procrastinated, but you're doing it from, like, your wedding thank yous, too, right? Yeah, so that's different.
You have a year to do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a wedding thing. It's not a holiday thing.
Like, I have to get it done, because otherwise I have to set this deadline, because otherwise I'm never going to do it.
The holidays are the least stressful time of the year. They're the best.
They are the best, and they're supposed to be the least stressful, but sometimes you find yourself a little behind the eight ball when you get kids and a wife.
Yeah, I know. Mr. No Kids over here telling us how unstressful the holidays are.
Yeah. Of course it's easy. You have nothing to do.
You're damn right. I work. Yeah, I'm just here 7 days a week.
It's true. He does work 7 days a week.
That's true. And this is also, Andy's in every day. Now,
that's true.
The new thing for him here. So this is also different. Yeah.
No, in all honesty, that's part of it.
Yeah.
I went from having a very flexible schedule where I could fit things in. Oh, I'm going to Gillette every day so I can head up to rent them. And then it's like, oh, shoot, I got to get to the station and do a show. It's changed my life a little bit.
I gotcha.
Andy, do I strike you as the kind of person who puts antlers in a nose on my car?
Answer honestly.
Yeah.
He texted that, I think.
Andy, I love you.
And someone else says that Mego seems like the type of person that calls garbage rubbish.
No. Wait,
that's a little more British.
Snob?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, yes.
Yeah.
If you're not, can you not read the text line? Of course they do.
It's fine. Just lean into it.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I'm not a snob. I'm of the people.
Are you? Which people?
Excuse me.
Excuse me,
Mr. Tufts.
Which people?
You have a boat.
Yeah, so?
These rich people?
Is it just like a dinghy or is it like a boat?
I mean, it's between dinghy and boat.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have a couch on it or a TV.
All right.
That would be a boat. It just, I mean.
Does it go fast?
Goes fast enough to go tubing and have fun with.
That's there you cool. go.
That's perfect. That's all you need.
Thank you.
Anyways. Do you put antlers in a nose on it?
Have you ever done that?
If it was in the water, I probably would, but it's out of the water.
Ah,
well, there you go.
It is all cold. Right.
Andy, we got a football game today we should probably talk about at some point.
We have to?
5 minutes into this, we might as well bring it up. I know that you you and I both picked Arizona, and I think we both laid the points. Have you shifted your thinking on that at all? You still think it's going to be a tough day for Drake May and the Pats?
I don't know about tough day. I mean, I think they can lose this game, and Arizona can cover without it necessarily being a tough day for the Patriots. Just sort of another day. You are what you are. You're a three-win football team. You're playing young players. You have really no consistency in any area of your football team, and that's why I think it makes it hard to pick them, to go on the road and to make the plays they need to win what I think will be a competitive football game. I think Jerod Mayo will have another one of his, you know, one score, we were in it, we competed, we didn't get blown out kind of football games. But I just have concerns. This is an Arizona team that does like to blitz. And Drake May, you know, under pressure with guys that he doesn't necessarily trust or know where they're going to be under pressure, that could be a recipe for issues. And Kyler Murray, you know, I don't love him, but Patriots have certainly struggled with some mobility at the quarterback position this year and his ability to maybe find his tight end in those situations, which has been another issue for this football team, certainly been an issue for Kyle Duggar at times. So I think there's little aspects of the recipe here that just favor the home team. And I mean, again, you're a three-win football team on the road. I think that's a situation where you don't get the benefit of the doubt.
Andy, since you worked for the Patriots for a long time, why do you think they haven't put out like any kind words about Bill Belichick going to UNC as an organization? Fitzy brought it up earlier, and I just think it's kind of surprising.
It is a little surprising to me because I don't know that they would be genuine, but I think they usually do things like that. They're usually pretty PR savvy, marketing savvy. You know, for example, we know that they have kind of battled with the Red Sox. Like, that was seen as sort of a business rival because they're battling for sports eyeballs and dollars and things of that nature, but they usually celebrate everything Red Sox, just like all the teams do. And it obviously didn't end well with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, and, you know, right up until recently when Robert's revealing that that amicable parting of ways was actually, I fired his ass kind of thing, out of nowhere for no reason. So is it just that? Is there some personal going on? I even, you know, wonder about the story that popped up this week with the Jets and Bill's people working, you know, reaching out to the Jets. You know, who says things like that? You never know where sources come from, where stories are floated by. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything.
Kind of sounds like it.
I'm just saying you never know where information flows through at owners' meetings and things of that nature. But, yeah, I'm a little surprised just because generally the Patriots play the game, even if they don't really genuinely believe in what they're playing.
Well, Andy, you mentioned those Jets reports. Do you buy them? Do you believe them?
I'd like to because it's fun. I always tell Arcand, I believe everything and I believe nothing. Like, I don't dismiss anything out of hand because we've seen too many rumors over the years or, like, social media things that end up coming to fruition. And then I also don't just believe, for example, when Bill Belichick says, you really believe I have a 400-page binder? That doesn't mean it's not true, right?
I kind of like, did.
Maybe it was 380 pages.
Right. And that's how he would be. It's not actually a binder. It was a presentation. It's a Google Doc if you have
PowerPoint.
Right. So, again, I believe everything and nothing, and if Diana Rossini is a national reporter who certainly has had her hits and her misses.
The Patriots love Jared Stidham.
Yeah, I'm not unaware of her track record on both sides, but if it's reported in a national publication like The Athletic, which is essentially the New York Times, mm-hmm. I'm going to take it at face value until somebody proves to me or tells to me, disputes it really on the record. So, you know, is it just a minor conversation? You know, people immediately assume, oh, does that mean like Patricia or Lombardi? Who's Belichick's camp? Which guy's reaching out? And it could be to somebody that's in the organization that is a friend, right? Like Shime, I could call you and be like, hey, are there any openings on that morning show?
Well,
no, you know, I'm not
Breer said it was Tannenbaum.
Yeah, so Breer updated it to this morning within probably the last 15, 20 minutes. And he said that Bill reached out to Tannenbaum, who I believe runs the 33rd team, who's conducting the search, and said, hey, interested in the Jets job. And Tannenbaum was going to hook him up with Woody Johnson. And then the UNC thing came up, is the report.
And then ready, fire, aim. It never happened. Bill should have been looking into it. I mean, Arcand, you and I had the Jets as a fun Bill Watch landing spot throughout the season because...
It was no way it was going to happen.
Yeah, but doesn't that reek of desperation?
Oh, absolutely, but we know he's desperate. We know he's desperate. I mean, Adam Schefter basically admitted to us on the afternoon show that part of the reason he started looking at college is he realized there were going to be few, if any, opportunities in the National Football League. And he wants to work. And that I actually think is pretty cool. That he doesn't take the, well, if the NFL doesn't want me, then I don't want anything. I'm just going to sulk. Like, no, I kind of love football and I want to coach young kids and I'll go to college. So in some ways, it's a massive ego play. And in some ways, it's an ego-less play. Like, college isn't beneath me. I'll go coach there, especially if somebody's going
to
pay me.
No, he said in the press conference he's always wanted to be in college, just 50 years in the NFL. He never had a chance to. You know, it's weird.
Right. I find that a little weird. But, no, so do I I want to believe that he reached out to the Jets. And if it's Tannenbaum and if it's that simple, just like, I'm kind of interested. I don't know how much value there is in that. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall between Bill Belichick and Woody Johnson, given everything that's transpired over the last 25 years. Unfortunately, I guess that is never going to come to fruition.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Andy Hart, thanks so much for the time today. Great to talk with you. I'll talk to you again in tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Okay, back to rapping. See ya.
See ya, Andy. All right,
there you go. Rapping presents, I think, not like freestyling in his house.
I don't know. That'd be pretty cool, too.
That would be cool.
Step up for Hart.
Also, Andy Hart, Fitzy, you can hear them on the Six Rings post-game show, which will be coming on right here, WEEI, after the game. Don't miss it. Don't miss any of that. It's a great, great post-game show. I think it's the best post-game show in town by far. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. When we return, we will pop, lock, and drop. Picks for the week, picks for the day. It's all coming up next. WEEI Football Sunday. We only got a few minutes left here, and we don't want to miss our cue, so let's get right into it with pop, lock, and drop. All right, I don't know how we did last week. I feel like I had a pretty good pop. I think my pop was Alvin Kamara, and I think he had a good game.
That sounds right.
But now I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Anyways,
I've had
let's
a pretty
go
good
ahead
hit rate,
and
so.
Get to it. Who's popping this week, Sean?
Yeah, for me, I'm gonna go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, I'm gonna jump on like the Steelers money line. I think the Eagles have been really good, but Mike Tomlin, as a dog, like, this is where he thrives. Mm-hmm. This game is going to be ugly. It's going to be gross. And I just think the Steelers' defense is the best unit on the field. Give me the Steelers,
I
man.
I am hot and heavy
pop.
For the Steelers this
yeah.
week. Too. Yeah, for sure. All right, Mega, what about you?
Okay, my pop is actually going to be Pop. I'm going to say Pop Douglas gets over 50 receiving yards today against the Cardinals' defense. That defense is just... It's very similar to yours, as in it's not very good. And that's a plus 155 value.
Hell yeah.
So I would look at that.
That's good. My pop today is scary Terry McLaurin, Mego. And here's why. Ever since October 27th, every other week, McLaurin eclipses 100 yards. He's been doing it every other week. Mm-hmm. Last week, he had two touchdowns against Tennessee, but only 73 yards. So he's due for another 100-yard game. And it's against a bad team. Washington today is taking on New Orleans, who sucks. I think that McLaurin's going to go off, so he's my pop. Who's your lock?
Yeah, there's an absolute lock for me here. I'm going to go David Montgomery. It's a specific bet. David Montgomery over 2.5 catches in that Bills-Lions game. He has had this in 4 straight games. He's had 5 in the last game, then 3 in the 3 games prior to that. He is crushing that number all day. The Bills are going to... I mean, I just need a piece of this game, and this is my favorite piece of that game. So give me David Montgomery over 2.5 catches. You're going to get that at plus 115, too, which is an awesome line.
That's pretty good. Yeah. All right, Mega.
Okay, my lock is kind of crazy. It's also from that game.
Oh.
And it's also the Lions. It's Jahmyr Gibbs and Josh Allen to combine for 150 rushing yards.
Interesting. Hmm. Okay.
So I think that the Bills' rush defense is not great. And guess what the value for that is?
Like 3-1?
750.
Oh, shoot.
Wow.
Seven and a half to one?
750.
I almost just swore.
I know.
Nice.
That's the second time in the show I thought someone was going to swear. I thought Andy Hart was going to swear, too.
I did, too.
He hit it. He had a very questionable, oh, shoot.
Yep.
And you just had one, too.
Yep.
And I'm thankful that neither of you did.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job, you guys.
Good work, everyone. My lock for the day is the Denver Broncos. They're taking on the Colts. They're at home. It's a small enough line, 4.5, that I think Denver's going to absolutely destroy Anthony Richardson. That defense, I like what Bo Nix is doing all year long. He's obviously having a great season, and I don't really think much of the Colts defense or offense. So, yeah, I'd say that Denver wins this at least by a touchdown, maybe by multiple scores if you want to tease that one up. That's my lock
for this week. All right, what are we dropping here, Sean?
So I wanted to lock in the Panthers at -2.5. Couldn't do it. Like, first time they're favored in 33 games. Couldn't do it. Had to mention that. My drop, though, this week is absolutely Cincinnati, Tennessee. Cincinnati should win this game.
They should
cover. But Tennessee just plays so ugly that sometimes these games are wonky and weird. I want nothing to do with them, especially in Tennessee. I'm good with this. I'm staying away from Bengals-Titans.
Okay, my drop is Cowboys-Panthers.
Cool.
1 p.m. game. I think it's hysterical that the Cowboys are underdogs, I love that. For me as a Commanders fan, you can't look at anything there. I want nothing to do with any of it.
Fair enough. The one game I want to drop is a game that I'm interested in watching, but that I have no interest in betting, and that's the Chargers and the Bucks. That's one of the Monday night games, I think.
That's 425 today.
Oh, that's a 425 game today. Yep. Excuse me. All right, yeah. So Tampa and, there's two Monday night games. It's neither one of those.
It's
apologies
Bears,
there.
Vikings, Falcons, Raiders on
right.
Monday night.
And the night game tonight is Green Bay, Seattle. So, Correct. Yeah, it's one of the 425 games. If there was a hook, if it was 3.5, maybe I'd consider betting it, but it's just 3 points. The Chargers I like a lot, but I don't necessarily think are a good team to bet on right now, especially against a team like Tampa, who's been putting up some wins lately, but against bad teams. I just don't know where to go. I don't know which direction to lean. So I am going to leave that one for the experts, and I will abstain.
If you're like me and bet on every single game, Justin Herbert passing yards is the way I'd go in that game. Tampa Bay secondary stinks. It's the way to exploit that defense. So I would go with Justin Herbert's pass yards.
Very good. Speaking of bets, my Travis Hunter Heisman future.
Love
cast
that
in very nicely.
Did you
yesterday.
Get that at 35-1, or did you hit it later?
I got it at, I don't know what the 35-1, but it was +4,000. So
okay. Yeah. Oh, that's 40 to 1.
I got it. Yeah, it was 40 to 1. So yeah, I got a nice.
Nice.
So
you got it early. Wow. Good job.
Cindy
I got it very
is getting
early.
Such good Christmas presents.
That's pretty much true. Yeah. George getting the new drum set, and Cindy's getting whatever that thing is I just told you about.
The Dyson Airwrap.
The Dyson Airwrap,
it's
yes.
like a hairstyler.
Right.
Yeah, women love those.
Don't think she's listening right now, but yeah.
They're hot in the streets.
Right? I didn't even know what this thing is.
Very hot.
I got
My
a picture of it. I was like, what
from
is this?
Her husband, too.
Heard about it
no
on TikTok.
Really?
Women love it. Yeah,
I still don't even really know
TikTok?
What it is.
Yeah.
It's like a fancy blow dryer.
Yeah. A fancy blow dryer.
Yeah, but that also curls at the same time, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, it can also straighten.
That's all this thing does, a blow dryer?
No,
it dries, it curls, it straightens, it styles. Like, it does everything.
It's a blow dryer.
It's an all-in-one.
Okay.
It's like the knife thing? The
Swiss Army knife. Swiss Army blow
dryer. Of hair drying things, yeah.
I feel like I'm getting ripped off here.
Probably.
Anyway, thank Travis Hunter for that, honey.
It's gonna break.
There you go. All right, that's all the time we have here today. I want to say big thanks to Jacob back behind the glass. Great job. Thanks to Tom E. Kern, Wiggy, Fitzy,
it's my
Andy
last show
Hart.
Of the season, Arcan.
Last show of the season? What?
What?
What are you talking about?
Winter break.
Winter break.
Aww. All right. Well.
All right. Well, okay. Jacob, it's been nice knowing you, pal. And that's it for us. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Enjoy the football today. See you later, everybody.